The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go. Hey, welcome to the Power Hour. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's 106 on this Monday. It is Political Monday. And this portion of the program is brought to you. Folks, you're looking for a great lunch or dinner or maybe just a drink in the lounge. Well, just head over to K's, 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. You can call them at 762-9675. You just open up the napkin, and there's the menu. Delicious roast beef sandwiches, tuna salad, corned beef, roasted turkey breast, chicken salad, lobster rolls, steak sandwiches, and more. It's K's. Stop it and see them. 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket, right across from CVS. Lunch and dinner. I want to say good afternoon to everybody watching on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. It is Political Monday. Joining us, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Good afternoon to the one and only Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, John. Great to talk to you.
Hey, Justin, I want to start off. Today is a big day in Rhode Island, in a way, just because this is the first day that DOT has installed these famous truck tolls. We've been hearing about this debate for so long. It will be on the news, but I'm curious if you feel Representative Patricia Morgan has really, in some ways, vested a lot on her run for governor on those truck tolls. She was obviously very outspoken against them. There was that famous back and forth with her and Ray Gallison where Gallison was threatening to turn off her microphone and arguing about the truck tolls. But today is the day. Apparently, they're up and running. I'm just wondering how much, since it's affecting truckers and not the general public, how much do you feel now that it's all just kind of up and running that the truck tolls, how much effect that's going to have in the race for governor? Meaning, how much do you think it's going to hurt that particular issue, hurt Governor Raimondo, and how much do you think it may help Republican Representative Patricia Morgan?
Well, on the hurt question, I think it's going to, at this point, I would wager the average Rhode Islander has been hearing about truck tolls for so long, he or she assumes they're up and running almost. So I don't know that the actual implementation of them is going to affect Rhode Islanders in general. So it's not going to be something that immediately will cause harm to the governor in her race for reelection. Now, that comes with the caveat if something goes wrong, if the trucking industry manages to make some kind of a statement by some kind of activism or other, and then there are the lawsuits, although those tend to be relatively slow moving, so there may not be anything before November. I don't know that we're going to see much damage to the governor from this that she hasn't already suffered. I think it might already be baked into her low approval ratings as it is. As far as for candidate Patricia Morgan, Republican, I think probably something very similar applies. I've seen in groups of mixed conservatives, meaning no particular political association, the people who are closest to the truck toll issue are big, big Morgan supporters, and that'll continue. I don't know at this point until something further develops that she's going to see a big boost in her own prospects for becoming a governor from this issue. Again, unless something unexpected happens.
You know, I agree with you, Justin. It has dragged on for so long. And again, I understand the truckers going after it and Patricia Morgan held a press conference, but should, you know, over the next several days and weeks, I think it's one of those things that people have almost become immune to it. And what maybe was the rallying cry at first, and without question, those Chris Maxwell and they are without question, they are Morgan supporters. But I don't know if that's going to be enough, because it's one of those issues that you know, it didn't affect me today. You know, it obviously, and it didn't affect you today. It didn't affect the regular general public. I think as much as people are saying at some point that they're going to start tolling cars and everything else, it's just one of those things that I'm not sure it has the teeth that it once did because of, as you say, I think a lot of people just, they tune it out. It's become white noise. And, you know, we're heading into the good weather. You have the national news with President Trump and the summit. I don't know if Rep. Morgan, who I do like and respect, I don't know if she's going to get the bang for the buck that maybe initially she thought she was going to get out of this.
Right, and not only is it not affecting people, I think even people who are aware of it, the issue, like you and me, we all know it's wait and see what the lawsuit does. So there's the implementation of the tolls doesn't really change anything per se. Now, one, and also the DOT shoved the only two that are, the initial two have been shoved all the way down in the south of the state. So most people aren't even going to see the gantries. What could make some effect, perhaps, is if you start to see truckers somewhat deliberately taking side routes because the legislation for the tolls does not have, initially they were going to try to penalize trucks for avoiding the tolls. So if you start to see trucks going up and down Route 1 or cutting across the state on back roads, and that builds up with the summer traffic, and then you add in all the DOT construction that we're seeing, if that creates a big issue and people become aware of it as an issue there, that's one way the truckers could change their own behavior to make it more of an issue for the rest of Rhode Island. But in somewhat deliberate sense, I think the administration has kept it so that it won't affect a whole lot of Rhode Islanders for the time being. I mean, over the next 18 months, we're going to see another, 12 of these things going up all the way across, all around the state. That will start to remind people between now and November, but certainly after that, of what's at stake. But I think most people, as I said, they're not just not aware of it at this point, or they know we're sort of in a holding pattern until the lawsuits are filed.
Yeah, and I think if there's some kind, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking, it's Political Monday. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Now, Justin, I think two things, actually. Number one, if somehow people that have Easy Pass, you know, I have an Easy Pass on my car, so if I go over the Newport Bridge, then it just immediately clicks on. I think if somehow there's some kind of glitch and people start seeing that they're being tolled with these gantries, that certainly could present a problem. But otherwise, I kind of liken it to when we lose power. If you hear, for instance, I'm just going to pick a random community. East Providence, a tree went down, they're without power. When we have a storm and you're without power, I do find when you're without power, it's an incredible story. You can't function. You are waiting, and just 2 to 3 days without power is a colossal hassle, from throwing out everything in your refrigerator to not having lights, or never mind then if your house is cold or whatever it may be. But as soon as you get it back, the whole story just evaporates. And if you have power, when you hear of, like, for instance, as I said, you know, East Providence or whatever, Johnston are without power, it just doesn't matter as much. And so I think the truck tolls, again, unless there's a colossal type of glitch where then all these people, you know, almost like the type of backfire of the speed camera in Providence, which, you know, all these people, thousands, had to go to court and getting these ridiculous speed tickets for the school zone, which was really just a money grab. Other than that, I think it just kind of, it kind of becomes white noise, and it's just not one of those things that affects you. You know, when I put on the Today Show or Good Morning America, and they show heavy flooding in a section of, you know, pick a place, Texas, Louisiana, or look at this damage from the tornado. For the people in that town, it's devastating, but I then just flip the channel and kind of go on with my normal life. It just doesn't resonate enough, and I think the fact that truck tolls could end up having the same effect on the voters.
Yeah, in an immediate sense, but I do think I do think all of those things, when they become part of the systemic problem and they're part of the sense of how things are going, I think that does contribute. And I think that's already having an effect on the race. I just don't think it's going to change much between now and November. I think that effect has already been made part of the whole campaign season. And I think whatever the poll numbers are now, I think that's about the effect that truck tolls are going to have on them, unless, you know, barring some change in the story.
Sure. Now, Justin, last week, Governor Mundo continued. I mean, she has had a disastrous June. It even started before that. This business, you know, the incompetence regarding that attorney, Gregory Haitian, then we find out the other attorney that was not licensed to practice law with the Rhode Island Department of Education. You have the situation with DOT. How much of that do you think, again, it's all like raindrops. It's not like one thing, but do you feel that those are the type of issues that could really glob on and hurt Governor Raimondo in her reelection bid?
Well, I think they'll be in a slow erosion because they just keep reinforcing. She won't be able to, the glossy commercials that she's going to be putting out now, apparently, they're not going to have as much of an effect because they're paired with weekly or monthly stories about how she's just not running things very well. And it also affects how she's able to hit back at people. I noticed recently I think we've already discussed somewhat in prior weeks, Matt Brown going after Raimondo on the pension issue. She's been trying to actually hit back even harder in the past week on that by campaigning him as this, you know, this guy who's been out of state for years and jet setting and hanging out with his rich nonprofit friends and all that. That's not going to play as well when there's the story about the governor is she's not here either. She's off fundraising. And to the extent that she's involved in local politics and local government, things are going wrong. So that presents a problem for her as far as painting herself in a good light and also her ability to paint her opponents in a bad light. And so I think it's just this building up and building up of gunk on her wings, so to speak, so that she won't be able to move forward. And it'll erode. And she's definitely within, I mean, the latest polls have her tied with Alan Fung. So she's definitely within the area that undecided can decide against her in a bad way. And so I think it does. Those little things do add up, and for everyone, you know, it's just like every time, I'm sure you hear this too, when every time a new budget comes out and a new taxes or new regulations, you see people you know from on Facebook or Twitter or whatever saying, that's it, I'm gone, North Carolina for me. And so I think it's going to be kind of like that with voters, where every little one of these is just, you know what, that's enough from her, I'm picking somebody else, and there you go.
I think, Justin, it's going to be an interesting dynamic because her standing on stage, and she has been, you know, kind of, I don't want to say in a bubble, but, you know, she certainly picks her elements of where she addresses things. I think this is one of those things. I don't know what type of comeback that she can shoot back. And I'm just saying that, you know, some point in November, unless Matt Brown knocks her out in the primary, but she's standing on a stage and there's a debate. And whether it be the media or her opponent, and they start going after her on these mistakes, there's no excuse for them. And she can say, well, I've put things in place that are going to change that and blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, she does not have a good back for, well, you know, well, you did this, or that wasn't my fault, or blah, 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 whatever it may be. I think it's very damaging because they run themselves as her and her team, as she is supposed to be the smart, efficient candidate, right? She is not the, and you hear the defenders, oh, when you're one-on-one with her, she's really likable, you put her in a small group. The fact of the matter is, if you want to be the smartest ones in the room, you can't have mistakes like this, because then otherwise you're just this unlikable, incompetent individual. And it is interesting to me that everyone, whether it be Matt Brown or Brandon Bell or obviously Cranston Mayor Alan Fung or Patricia Morgan, they were all using the word incompetent. I think short of being defensive, I don't think she has a good good out for this one. And her numbers reflect it. For them to say that they're going to try to change her image or something like that, I think these issues present a real problem for her, because it's raw, it's now. This is not, you know, she could point to Fung and say, you had problems in 2013 with the ticket scandal. Well, you know, that was 5 years ago, for crying out loud, or saying to Matt Brown, you left Rhode Island. I mean, none of that is a comeback for having this incompetent idiot that they're going to bring charges against for missing a $24 million email. I think this, of all the mistakes that have happened, this is right at her strike zone, and I think it really hurts her to the core.
Right, and I think also the reaction and the follow-up on this, it's becoming, when you're the smartest people in the room, part of the reason people want you to be in government is so you predict things and take care of them first. I mean, she came into office strong as governor, strong on the winds of pension reform. That was the kind of governance people were expecting. And now we get this, okay, here's a big mishap we missed. I'm putting in systems now at the, you know, months away from seeking my reelection to the office again for another term. You know, that's, well, where have you been the last 3 years? These are the kinds of things she should have been working on, figuring out, setting up these systems to challenge that, what she called the culture in the State House, and she hasn't. She's played along with it. And I think it's plain for anybody who's paying attention to see.
I think you're right. And I know that Raimondo people, you know, they will say that Mattiello's difficult, but you're going to work with the guy. I think now they, in retrospect, the Raimondo people, they wish they had found a way to knock him out 2 years ago, because they do blame him for behind the scenes now for a lot of the problems they have. But just to finish up on Raimondo and efficiency, I mean, Gina Raimondo, the last word that her and her people ever thought would ever be attached to her would be incompetent. I mean, they could say she needs to be more friendly and she needs to be more cordial, or she's not that outgoing. I mean, there were some people that truly enjoyed campaigning. And I'll say, someone like a Cianci, he loved, you know, entering the room and everything else. You take a Senator Reid, it's not as comfortable to him. But if you're Raimondo, and I'm going to use some sports analogies, you know, it's the ninth inning, and the Red Sox call down to the bullpen, and they bring in the reliever that can throw 100 miles an hour. Listen, that's your role. If you can't do that, there's no purpose to have you on the team. If you can't strike out the side and throw 100 miles an hour in the ninth inning, what the hell do we have you for? And if you, and the same thing in football. You know, if you're the kicker, they call timeout, and they're down two, and this is going to be a 50-yard field goal. If you can't hit that field goal, then that's your reason for being on the team. So I compare that to Raimondo of what your strongest strength is supposed to be. She's not the most friendly. She's not the most likable, but she's wildly brilliant and competent. If you can't play that card, what do we have you for? And I know, you know, some defenders of the media, they say, oh, you got to understand that, you know, donors and people that meet her around the country. I heard that Rob Horowitz the Marcello, or one of them, was on Lively with Hummel a couple of weeks ago saying, I take great pride that my governor goes out to California, New York, is widely regarded. I mean, I don't know anyone that thinks that way. I don't know anyone walking around in Cranston or Warwick or Woonsocket or Tiverton saying, you know, puffing their chest out saying, I think it's fabulous our governor has $4 million in campaign cash. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. But I compare it to, you know, well, she gets written up great by the New York Times, the Washington Post. Well, you know, every year at Christmas time, there are the family, that the relatives that go to the house, and they, you know, the kid could be flunking out of school and he set the house on fire and he's causing problems with the parents, and the relatives say, you know, the kids seem fine to me, and they're off on their merry way. They don't care. To me, those are the reporters from out of town. It is the day-to-day. We know around here, she has a major perception problem, and her perception to me has been cracked by these inefficiencies with these mistakes. And the lawyers, that's a major problem. If you have to say at this point, all right, new policy going forward, you have to have a license to practice law in Rhode Island to have one of these jobs. I mean, Justin, come on. This is ridiculous. This is for 6 months thing. These are the things you should be blaming on Chafee, that you came in and found out that, you know, things were a mess. Not now, not 4 years in. That is not the Governor Raimondo that they had planned on rolling out.
Right, no, and it's been clear from the beginning that she didn't roll in and start reforming things, which is what a lot of people expected. What she did was she came in with trying to find some big flashy plan, and roadworks happened to be it, the one I got settled on, and then pushed that through. Meanwhile, charming people, I guess, wealthy elites in small rooms in other states, charming them for more money, and it didn't quite work out. You've got to take care of the day in and day out business and reform what's in front of people rather than, I mean, yeah, sure, fixing the roads will be great if they manage to do it right, but it doesn't. If you're a reformer, you come in and this is the easy stuff, as you just said. I mean, this is the stuff the brilliant people ought to have figured out. Oh, by the way, on the way to my meeting about this roadworks thing, we're going to do something about having law degrees for our lawyers in state government. That would have been something obvious to figure out, but it's almost as if they didn't really stop to kind of learn how government actually works and how things actually function. And we discussed this in the past couple weeks about how that is her sore spot. She's off somewhere else doing PR as her main objective. That's her main thing, and she expects her department heads and their supervisors under them to run everything, when really it ought to be the other way. The governor ought to be the one running things, figuring out how it works, bringing fresh perspective to the bureaucracy, which is why we elect a governor every 4 years. So I think that's exactly her ongoing problem, and it's not getting any better as the election gets closer.
It's not, and I think one of the things that it was a fatal mistake she made out of the box, and that was bringing in all these outsiders. Her first chief of staff was not from Rhode Island. That is one of those things, you're exactly right. What should have been low-hanging fruit, if you had had someone who's really up to speed, that knew some of the players, knew where to look, this is one of those things in the first 6 months that she maybe, or whatever, beyond that, could have discovered about the Chafee, and then you start to hone that image of being that you are dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, you know, making sure all the loose ends are covered. And instead, that is just absolute sloppiness coming out at this point. You know what else, Justin? I want to get your thoughts on two other things. One is, now again, a lot of this is inside baseball and it hasn't been decided yet, but I still can't get over Rhode Island, and they roll out and it still has to get voted on and everything, but a $9.6 billion budget. Now, Justin, I believe, and I'll have to check the latest numbers, but New Hampshire was right around $6.7 billion. I mean, if people are wondering if there is a problem, you're talking about two states. Now, New Hampshire is a bigger state, although the population is roughly almost the same as Rhode Island. But no taxes, no income tax, and $3 billion less in the budget. Now, to me, Justin, that is an absolute red flag of just how broken the government is. The state government, I mean.
Oh, yeah. And what's so discouraging about these budgets, especially, is that it just illustrates how they don't get it. I mean, they came up with extra revenue, and rather than add it to the reforms of government, they just added it to the bottom line. So I was looking at the numbers. In 2016, the actual spending was a little bit more than $1 billion less than this budget. So we're just growing and growing this budget so much every year, and there's never a whole lot of relief. I mean, you can talk about, say, the vehicle car tax, Mattiello's big thing, but that's really just transferring taxes from local taxpayers to statewide taxpayers. It's always this piling on, and oh, good, we have more money, we can give it back to some special interest groups or something like that. And that's what's so discouraging. And the fact that other states, notably New Hampshire, so close by, can run without this. Well, I think that's the real cultural problem we have in Rhode Island government. And that's what hopefully we'll start to see people waking up and electing politicians who will go after that. I'm not optimistic, but that would be nice to see.
Finally, you're exactly right. I mean, it is so ridiculous. They in no way look to save money, cut taxes. You and I both know they could easily lower this budget tremendously, but it's just not in their DNA to do it. I'm finally curious what you think, where things are going to lead, I should say, over the next several months with the Paw Sox. The team is being very, very quiet. There's a front page story on the front page of the Providence Journal. Worcester is in fact starting to gear up a little bit. They have the land. They have their own little renaissance going on in Worcester. No matter what poll they do, it always shows that people in the state are not in favor of it. But I'm just curious where you think just over the next 3 to 6 months that this whole PawSox situation may end up.
Well, of course, most of that's going to depend whether the insiders in the state can push through some kind of legislation for the new stadium in the next couple of weeks. So we'll have a lot more information as the legislature wraps up its session. But it's really not looking good. I mean, the most recent polls, I think the one from GoLocal, shows still 2-1 against a new stadium for the PawSox in Rhode Island, or at least with taxpayer backing. And Mattiello's much promoted legislation really doesn't change much of anything. Basically, they took out all the language that made it clear that the state is going to back it and only imply that the state is going to have to end up backing it if something goes wrong. It's still nothing in the deal tangibly changed. And they added all kinds of horrible things like eminent domain. So I don't see that two-thirds changing its mind. So that's a bad outcome if it gets pushed through anyway. So I think over the next couple months, I think either this isn't going to get through. Maybe they could buy some time if they put it on the ballot and let Rhode Islanders vote whether to back it or not. And that would at least keep the PawSox on ice until November, maybe, if they'll wait that long. But I got that same impression reading around some of the commentary in Worcester that they are ramping up while Rhode Island is struggling to find a way to sneak this one past the voters without some kind of a backlash. And if we do see the legislature push something through that looks like a subsidy and feels like a subsidy, or at least in backing anyway, I think that could be the next kind of truck toll-like issue. Because with two-thirds of people not supporting it, if it gets through anyway, that might spark some fires under reformers to actually have an issue that they can really hammer home. That you don't run the state, they run the state, and even though you said you didn't want this, they're pushing it down your throats. That could be the kind of thing that gets people really ramped up.
I agree with you, and I think it's also one of those things that Governor Raimondo had a rough and probably distracted by the attorney, where first she was saying, oh, there's definitely a risk to the state, and then the speaker was saying, no, it's a no-risk bond. I mean, there's no such thing. But I think it's amazing. As soon as she voiced support for the stadium, Matt Brown and all of her rivals started attacking her. And as much as the governor may plan on, in the fall now, should she win the primary, standing on a stage, or she's going to debate Matt Brown and saying, listen, it's revenue, you know, they love the term revenue neutral, it's good for Pawtucket, blah, blah, blah. I think the mold has already been set in people's minds that if these, quote, billionaires want this stadium, they should pay for it themselves. I think this thing was so mishandled that no matter, even if now there was, in fact, some formula that, quote, is risk-free or, you know, is not going to be a burden on the taxpayers, whatever, I think that ship has already sailed. And I think in most people's minds, the building of the new PawSox Stadium equates that we're somehow giving them money. And I think, again, she's going to be standing up there flat-footed because she's going to be trying to be defending it unless she tries to pull, you know, some card with the owners saying, listen, you know, if you guys can just sit tight, wait till I get reelected in November, I will absolutely ram this thing through. Kind of like, do you remember they picked up President Obama whispering to Putin, once I'm reelected, I'll have more free. The fact that they've been quiet, I don't know if the PawSox people, then if they're content to just sit to wait, because I don't think she wants to see it leave. But I think it is a liability for her, you know, trying to get through both a primary and a general, if in fact she's standing up there trying to defend, you know, the owners of the PawSox. I want to give you the final word on this.
Well, I think that's true, and I think it's also made worse by the fact that all of the ways they try to keep changing the deal to make it look like there's less risk play to the weakness of especially Governor Raimondo, where people think she's got some scheme, some fancy financing scheme going on. I mean, once people start trying to figure out what a tax increment finance deal is like, I mean, you're going to have the Pawtucket Redevelopment Agency essentially at will able to expand its ballpark district and take new taxes away. That's good. That's how they're hiding the subsidy. And once people start to get some, they don't even have to know how it works specifically, but once they get a sense that that's how it's structured and that's how they're able to claim there's no risk or that sort of thing, I think it makes it even worse because people start to really look for those, you know, that's when the distrust of the investor class starts to come into play. And they'll blame the governor if she ends up having to be behind it for political reasons.
Folks, he's the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great job, and we'll talk to you again.
Great to talk with you, John.
Folks, thank you, Justin. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With that, we'll open up the phone line, 766-1380. The big news tonight will be President Trump, this historic summit with North Korea. Well, right now it's 1:36. Between now and 2 o'clock, anything you want to touch on, whether it be local, national, if you're upset about the truck tolls, if you're upset about Robert De Niro, that was a disgrace last night, if you are surprised that the local politicians, whether it be Senator Elizabeth Warren or Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, how they're not speaking out about the fact that President Trump and supporting him with this tremendous, incredible historical summit that's going to take place. 766-1380, anything you want, 766-1380, first-time callers welcome. Hey, I want to remind you on this Monday, the weather this week is going to be great. So why not stop into Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, located 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. It is Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. You can call them at 295-4399, 295-4399 for PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They are located right next door to Allie's Tax Shop, right off of Route 4 and across from Allie's Donuts. Flowers, trees, shrubs, a full garden center. Remember, all locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local. Excellent quality and less expensive since they grow locally. Plus, landscape construction, mulch delivery, insulation, loom, mulch, screen loom, annuals, perennials, full line of landscape material, plus pickup and delivery. They're open 7 days a week. They're open until 5 o'clock tonight. Stop in and also check out their page on Facebook. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center. Look for their magnificent outdoor display, tree and shrub planting, irrigation systems, hardscapes, walks and walkways. Take a ride to Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown, right next door to Allie's Tax Shop. Look for them on Facebook. It's John DePietro. Again, you can email me, john@depietro.com, 766-1380. A lot more ahead on this Monday.
It's been said that great partners can make a business great, which is why more companies look to Signature Commercial Banking from BankRI. Because with flexible lending, premier commercial banking services, and a more personalized style of banking, it means that with BankRI, your company has more than a great bank. It has a great commercial banking partner. Signature Commercial Banking, only from BankRI. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, folks, remember, if you're going to grow it green. Southern New England's indoor garden supply shop. They carry the industry's top name brand equipment. Sunleaves, Hydrofarm, Sunlight Supply, Grow It Green. They specialize in hydroponics, soils, nutrients, lighting, ventilation, and most important, knowledge and experience. Grow It Green. They supply quality products, reliable information, hobby gardeners, and MMJ patients. You can call them at 508-883-GROW. 508-883-GROW, located 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. They're open 7 days a week. It's Grow It Green, Southern New England's only five-star rated indoor growing supply store. Friendly, educated staff able to assist with all aspects of your grow. Competitive pricing on all major brands, lighting brands, nutrient brands. Consultations are available. It's Grow It Green. I received a nice email
from Michael in Johnston. Dear Juan, I love your show. I listen each day on AM 1380. Thank you for telling me about Grow It Green. My wife is a hobby gardener. We used to drive close to 25 minutes to get all our supplies until you told us about Grow It Green. They had everything we needed, and their prices were actually less than the store we used to go to. Thank you for telling us. Well, you're very welcome. Folks, visit them. Grow It Green, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. You can call them at 508-883-GROW. 508-883-GROW for Grow It Green.
Conservative fighter, proven leader, delivering real results for Rhode Island. Patricia Morgan, an educator and lifelong community leader. Growing up in a working-class family and owning a small business, Patricia understands the importance of hard work, responsibility, and helping her neighbors. In the legislature, Patricia fought for taxpayers against tolls and PSOC bailouts while strengthening education for our children and grandchildren. And no one has fought harder to end the politics as usual and the corruption that is hurting every Rhode Islander's future. Patricia Morgan will bring common sense solutions to the governor's office, helping struggling Rhode Islanders earn and keep more of their paychecks. But due to years of failed leadership, our cost of living has skyrocketed, forcing people to leave Rhode Island. We all deserve better. That's why we need a leader like Patricia Morgan, who will help turn the ocean state around and put Rhode Island back on top. Paid for by elect Patricia Morgan.
Pleasant View Orchards, good afternoon, Tony. Located 141 Pleasant View Avenue in Smithfield, it's Pleasant View Orchards. Call them at 231-4620. They're open daily 6 to 6, Pleasant View Orchards. 54 years and still blooming. It's Tony, it's Camille, it's Anthony, it's Derek. It's hanging tomato plants and cucumbers, herbs, garlic, yard decor, from water fountains to Glacian globes or garden gnome, local honey and jams and donuts, hanging baskets and flowers. And as the sign says, don't be afraid to ask a stupid question and look for the Hillary doll. Try the cranberry relish or the beet pickles. Pleasant View Orchards, 141 Pleasant View Avenue in Smithfield. Stop in and see Tony, 231-4620. They're open daily from 6 to 6. We're back on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Weekdays, we start at 11. We roll right till 2 o'clock. Here I am at AM 1380 and also 99.9 FM. And it's WNRI. Well, you can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. Good afternoon, Kevin. And there's our friend Carrie and everybody. And everyone tuning in on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. Rob Bennett is so loyal. EliteWirelessRI.com. Everybody on Facebook Live, there's Barbara. Well, how about a nice thumbs up for our producer, Kerry? She does a fantastic job. You can click on that and show her, as we say, some love on that. But she does a tremendous job for everybody that enjoys tuning in on Facebook Facebook Live. This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by K's. 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. Whether it's lunch, dinner, or the lounge, you can stop in for a great meal and always see friends and wonderful people there at K's. 762-9675. They're located right across from CVS at 1013 Cass Avenue. I'm looking at, again, phone numbers, folks. 766-1380. 766-1380. Looking at the Channel 10 website, early voting looks headed for impasse again in Rhode Island. Thank God. This is Channel 10 with the story. The effort to expand early voting in Rhode Island appears headed for an impasse for the fifth year in a row. Advocates for the bill said they remain hopeful lawmakers will revisit the measure. Legislative leaders demurred when asked whether it be considered again. Some cities and towns are concerned would they have to pay for the new procedure, but this is another thing holding the bill back. Lawmakers are worried allowing people to vote before campaigns finish could affect their own elections. Residents can apply. Residents can apply for emergency mail ballots up to 20 days before an election. Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea's bill would allow them to vote in person as if it were election day. The bill has stalled in the House and Senate committees. Now, we're going to have Pat Cordeles around at some point. Folks, early voting is fraud. That's why Nelly Gorbea wants it. I can't wait to vote for Pat Cordeles. Early voting is fraud. Residents can apply for, quote, emergency mail ballots 20 days before an election. Would allow them to vote in person if we're election day. This is all done last time around. What do they have in Central Falls? Early voting. What do they have in Providence, Pawtucket? Early voting. No ID needed. Illegals are voting, deciding your elections. It's got to be stopped. If we're up to Nelly Gorbea, she's got to be knocked out of office. I can't wait to vote for our friend Pat Cordeles. If we're up to Nelly Gorbea, anyone would be allowed to vote. Anybody. That's how crazy it is. And that's not the way we work. That's not what we're built on. It's bad enough that these people are in here. They shouldn't even be in here. They should be removed from the country and deported, for crying out loud. 766-1380. 766-1380. Now, tonight, President Trump will make history with this summit with the leader of North Korea. Does Senator Sheldon Whitehouse support that? No. Silence. Does Senator Elizabeth Warren support that? Any words of encouragement or compliment for President Trump? No. Silence. Instead, who do they support? Robert De Niro, who won on television last night. Again, I think he's a great actor. He is a great actor. In fact, if I had to pick, who do I think is one of the greatest actors that I've ever seen? I would say Robert De Niro. I would. Let's, you know, do you have to go through the list? Taxi Driver. Godfather. Two. Deer Hunter. Raging Bull. Goodfellas. Heat. Casino. He was also in that whacked flick where he's the inmate who then is going after, what was the name of that movie? I can't think of it. He's unbelievable. He's a tremendous actor. Never mind then he started to do comedies. You know, like Meet the Parents and everything else. He's done some very bad films. But that was a disgrace last night. And he got a standing ovation last night as he stood on stage and said, you know, blank Trump. Standing ovation for De Niro on CBS at the Grammys at Radio City Music Hall. And that's an absolute disgrace. Never mind. They can, you know, scream all they want. We have to get rid of them and everything else. You watch. The president's approval ratings keep going up. And you have to ask yourself, you know, if you're a voter in Massachusetts, President Trump is going to be reelected. Do you want Jeff Deal, who would have an inside to the administration, who could get this some things done for Massachusetts? Or do you want the fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren? If you live in Rhode Island, do you want Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who has no juice, no power, doesn't deliver on anything? Or would you rather have the winner of the Republican primary, whoever that may be? Congressman Cicilline, all these people are on the wrong side of history. But it goes deeper than that, because they want this summit to fail. They do. Period. They should just come out and say that. But President Trump is going to make history tonight as he will meet with the leader of North Korea. And isn't that what it's about, right? Bringing peace to the world and the hell with the, you know, the Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's who, like, certain Democrats, they love him, right? He's totally the progressive leader of Canada. Good. Go live in Canada. It's a little bit colder, but fine. Folks, I want to remind you about our friend Sal and Metro PCS, his four great locations. And Sal is so confident that you're going to love their network, he will give you a $100 gift card just for walking in and trying it. Stop in and see our friend Sal with Metro PCS. He has four great locations. And on top of that, not only four great locations with Sal and Metro PCS, but he will help you if you need help with the hands-free driving device. Stop in and see Sal at Metro PCS. His four great locations. 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next door to the Rite Aid, location number one. Also, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, right near the Stop and Shop. 1852 Smith Street in North Providence. And also, location four, 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnston. Call him at 332-5051. Stop it and see him. It's Sal and Metro PCS. Folks, upgrade your cell phone the way I did and get all the different apps I talk about. Plus, you get more data. It works more efficiently. It's Sal and Metro PCS. 766-1380. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Juan.
Hello there.
David from Rehoboth. Just want to speak real quick about De Niro. I used to love the guy. Love the guy.
Yeah.
Now hate the guy.
Yes.
He should be sent to North Korea, hard labor.
I mean, but also, you know, what does it say that what the people in the audience gave him a standing ovation for saying that about the president?
If I was there, I would have got up and left.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you and I would be allowed be welcome at the Tonys.
We wouldn't even be stepping.
I don't know. And I didn't watch it. And again, you know, Springsteen's another one. I mean, I like his music and I listen to his music, but I just it's a total disconnect with their political beliefs.
It's like I don't know. I don't want to say the word cult, but it's almost like they're in their own. They're all. I don't know. It's unbelievable.
It is. And also, you know, think of tonight, what that's going to mean. And it's so sad, Dave, that we do have Democrat leaders that they are rooting for this summit to fail. I mean, that's how pathetic it is.
They want the worst thing that could ever happen to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Think about that. I mean, I was a big supporter of President George W. Bush, but he laid out the axis of evil, and it was Iran. And it was Iraq, and it was North Korea. Now, Iran, President Trump is redoing that deal. And this will be the first time. I mean, if we can bring North Korea just into the world a little bit and end that nuclear threat, think of what that would mean to the people of North Korea.
Yep. When I said when he was getting elected, I said if he can do one thing he says, I'd be happy.
That's right.
He's done a lot more than that.
You know what else, Dave, is...
John, I have to go.
Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you for the call. What's also remarkable, folks, is even Mitt Romney, even former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who I have a lot of respect for. I've interviewed the governor before, presidential candidate in 2012. He wants to go for the Senate. Even Mitt Romney has come around and now said President Trump is going to get reelected in a landslide. So, folks, you have to decide. You know, am I going to vote for Senator Sheldon Whitehouse? I'm going to vote against Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. I vote against people like that. Congressman Cicilline is not my congressman. I'm going to vote against Congressman Langevin. They're useless. They're not serving you. And the listeners in Massachusetts, you have a great candidate in Jeff Deal. He is a fantastic candidate. That's exactly the type of person you want, is someone like Republican Jeff Deal. That is someone who'd be on the inside with the Senate. Massachusetts is flying right now. Can you imagine if Massachusetts had someone who was actually trying to work with the president, who was trying to work with the leadership? Huge, huge difference. Folks, 766-1380, 766-1380. Again, I want to remind you, remember those in Rhode Island right now, hands-free driving. I received an email from one of our listeners, got a ticket just at the end of last week. The cop pulled her over. She was holding her cell phone, and she got a ticket for not driving hands-free. Stop it and see Sal. Upgrade your cell phone with Metro PCS. Sal has four locations, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next door to the Rite Aid, and then he also has three other great locations. 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnson, next to Johnson Town Hall, 1852 Smith Street in North Providence, and 989 Manton Avenue in Providence. And you can always call Sal at 332-5051, 332-5051. It's Sal and Metro PCS. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Journal does have an editorial this morning, ready to collect the truck tolls. There's a lot vested in this. We'll talk to Representative Patricia Morgan tomorrow. She did have a press conference today talking about the fact that the tolls have gone up, but the DOT is reporting that everything is smooth. They have started to toll the trucks. We're going to have to wait and see. I think that a lot of people, this is one of those stories. It's not going to resonate unless there's some kind of a screw-up and it starts to hit people with their easy pass toll, with the easy pass you have, and if regular drivers start getting tolled on it. Other than that, I think a lot of people, they've been hearing about this for so long that it is just, you know, kind of burn people out a little bit. I think that's one of the problems that has come in. All right, now tonight again, huge, huge night for President Trump as he will be, it is set for 9 o'clock. We're, look at that, right in prime time. The president doesn't skip a beat that he's going to be right there in prime time shaking hands with the leader of North Korea as the summit will begin. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. A lot more ahead on this one.
From hauling garbage to a seat on the Rhode Island Supreme Court. Quite a story. Bob Flanders was the oldest of seven kids in a working-class family. He worked his tail off, earned financial aid scholarships to Brown and Harvard Law. A distinguished legal career followed. Then one day he faced a monumental challenge. Central Falls was corrupt. Bankrupt. Rhode Island asked Bob Flanders to sort it out. He worked with everyone, compromised, balanced the budget, and solved the city's financial woes. Today, we have a White House problem. Sheldon White House. A lot of climate talk, not much else. The climate change we need is Bob Flanders in the Senate, an independent Republican outsider who gets things done.
I'm Bob Flanders, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Flanders for Senate.
Well, as a lot of people know, this time of year, a lot of people are moving, or maybe they're doing spring cleaning. Maybe you've decided to take back your house. If that is the case, pick up the phone and call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal. Local family owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. Mega Disposal. They have a swing door to provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. Call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. You see their trucks and staff collecting your household trash, recycling items, curbside in many local communities like North Providence, Pawtucket, North Smithfield, Barrington, West Warwick. Mega has dumpster service for small household construction projects or garage and basement cleanouts. Maybe you need 10 cubic yards for small yard cleaning or 15 for most garage or basement cleanups. Call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. It's Mega, M-E-G-A. Single week for a month. They'll work out delivery with the dumpster, and then they'll remove it. And Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. Serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades, call Mega. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. It's John DePietro. Listen, enjoy this Monday. Tomorrow, we'll talk about history with President Trump as far as he's making it tonight. Stay tuned. John Dion is next right here, AM 1380 and 99.9 FM, and it's WNRI.
I win socket.
WNRI.